Turn in your Bibles to this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We have been looking at these last Lord's Day mornings on the man Moses. And we have discovered that he was a truly religious man. By faith, Moses. That's the way we are introduced to him in this portion of Scripture. And then we have noticed that that he was not only a religious man, he was a reckoning man when he came to years. He had a decision to make, and he made that decision in the will of God. That decision proved him to be a refusing man. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And as a refusing man, he became a reproached man. And the reproaches fell upon him, and he was tested, and he was tried. Sons of God in tribulation, let our eyes the Savior view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted to, all to succor every tempered burden, son. So if you're feeling the burden today, remember that Christ was a reproached man. And this man who in 36 instances is a type of Christ, this man Moses was a reproach man. Old John Kent, in writing his hymn, said, 'Tis, if need be, he reproves us, lest we settle on our lees. In the furnace still he loves us, still expressed in words like these, I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. To his church, his joy, his treasure, every trial works for good. They are dealt in weight and measure, yet how little understood. Not in anger, but from his dear covenant love. With affliction, he may scourge us, send a cross for every day, blast our gourds, but not to purge us from our sins, as some would say. They were numbered on the scapegoat's head of old. If today he deigns to bless us with a sense of pardoned sin, perhaps tomorrow he'll distress us, make us feel the plague within, all to make us sick of self and fond of him. We turn now to consider Moses as a rich man. Moses exchanged the riches of Egypt for the riches of God. What a blessed exchange that was. When he left in flight from Egypt, he had nothing but the clothes he wore. Now in heaven, Moses has everything. We noted in a previous sermon that the very song that we'll sing will be the song of Moses and the Lamb. So has God enriched this man, Moses, not in time when he lived, but in eternity that never ends. He's the first after our Lord himself in heaven. The short time that he had on earth, in which he was humiliated and tried and bore the scourge and the heat of the day, he has left for his final exaltation. And what a rich man he was. He had first of all to face up to forsaking the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin. Does sin bring a pleasure? Yes, in the fleshly realm it does, on the platform of fleshly desires. But this man chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin are short and shorten quickly. The invitation to the pleasures of iniquity are galloping away from us as we seek to hold them back and go the way they're going. And you will notice that the word here says they enjoy the pleasures of sins for a season. How swift that season gallops past us. How soon we come to the place where we discover we have sown false tares and we have raised a terrible harvest. But Moses was rich. Why? Because he turned away from the pleasures of sin. But something else we read about this man. We read about this man that the three pleasures of sins, which were only for a season, were all refused by him. And what did he put in their place? He put one, the reproach of Christ. Now you put down the pleasures of sin there and the reproach of Christ. What a contrast. One offers pleasure, good companionship, the satisfying of the lusts of the flesh, and the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life. But on this other side, the reproach of Christ. The carnal man will put out both his hands, and he will cry out for the pleasures of sin. But the man and woman whom the Holy Spirit of God has worked in their heart, they behold the Christ in all his reproaches. Reproached in birth, born in a cattle house. He was reproached when he was first laid down to sleep, and his cradle was a feeding place for the cattle. And all through the journey of life, the reproaches of man fell on the blessed head of our Savior and Lord. I'd rather stand with Christ, reproached and rejected of men, but with the warmth of his love and the power of his grace and the joy of his presence than anything else. But there's something else here. There's the riches of Christ. Oh, this man read the book of treasures rightly. He saw that the reproaches of Christ formed a way to the treasure house of God. There is one person in which God the Father's soul's delight is in, and that is in his Son. And if the finding of God the Father is there is no riches like the riches of my Son, how we should heed what God the Father has shown us and what God the Father has taught us. Oh, the riches of Christ. Need I today underscore some of those riches? What about the riches of pardon for all our sins forevermore? And when that great day comes, and he who is the supreme judge judges all the world, and of all of us, both sheep and goats stand at the judgment bar, tell me, who will have the riches of Christ, the redeemed of the Lord? Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. I hate the sins that I have committed. I hate the failures that I have witnessed in my own soul and body and spirit. But praise God, I will be not accountable for any one of them. They have all been taken care of by my Savior. He didn't put away one of my sins, or two of my sins, or 100 of my sins. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Hallelujah. 10,000 hallelujahs. He washed them white as snow. And dear sinner in this meeting, only trust. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. The riches of Christ. If all I had when I stood at the judgment seat was the clearance of all my sins, that would be happiness indeed. But there's something more. There's the recompense of the reward. Think of it, God, in his eternal mercy and everlasting grace, not only planned that he would save his people, but he planned that he would reward them. Do I deserve any reward? No, I deserve nothing but wrath. But in the miracle of grace, the wrath has changed to blessing. And there's no name but the name of Savior in Emmanuel's land. And someday there will be millions of coronations when the God of eternity puts a crown upon our head, and when every saint of all ages, all whose names were written in God's great decree of election and predestination, when they're all in safely, there'll be a coronation. But let me tell you, the saints will not deign to wear those crowns. I read in the book of Revelation, they take them off and they cast them at the feet of Jesus. I want a crown not to wear in heaven. I want a crown to taken off by my own hands and put at the feet of Jesus in the glory land. Oh, that will be glory for me when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory for me. That's why I often wish I had heavenly wings to fly away from this old accursed and damnable system of men sinning and rise to walk in the light of heaven. But that day will come for us all if we're redeemed. But oh, I don't want a crown without jewels. I want a crown of jewels. And the only jewel that goes under the crown are the saved ones that through our ministry and our example came to know Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. Will there be any stars in my crown? The recompense of the reward. No one can describe it. No one could exhaust that. We can only stand in humility and say, even me, a sinner only fit to fuel the awful furnace of hell, and redeemed and saved and rewarded by the God of heaven. But there's something more about this man Moses. He was a resolved man. It's all right to resolve, but resolution is only crowned when it is put into full force. What did this man resolve, this man Moses? He resolved by making a faith choice. The foundation of his resolution wasn't works, or his own dedication, or his own praying, or his own sanctification. It was the choice of faith. By faith, Moses. He not only resolved by faith, but he resolved by a foreseeing choice in respect to the future. This man saw well ahead. Of course, as he lived, he saw the first 40 years, and the second 40 years, and the third 40 years. But he saw beyond that. And notice, thirdly, He resolved not only by making a faith choice and a foreseeing choice, but by making a farewell choice. He forsook Egypt. Egypt, where his father and mother lived and where his family was. Egypt, which contained the nation that he wanted to free. And here we have him forsaking Egypt. For he had to learn in 40 years what it was to bid goodbye to everything that had the mark of Egypt upon it. To cease to live in Egypt. To cease to live with his family in Egypt. It says that he forsook Egypt. But that was a fearless choice. He says he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The king was set to kill him. The Egyptian machinery of government wanted to wipe him off the face of the earth. But God wiped old Noah off the face of the earth. And where was Moses? On the other side of the Red Sea, leading his nation to victory and blessing. He was a resolved man. And then, of course, he resolved because he had made the final choice. Listen, he endured to the end as seeing him who is invisible. The magnetism of the drawing power of Christ held him. Was he sinless? No, he wasn't. He did sin. And we'll come to that next Sabbath. But it was grace that did the job in his heart. Thank God, oh, to grace a greater debtor. Daily, I will be telling the Lord of how he paid my debts. And as I tell him that, I will endure to the end. May God bless these few comments on Moses. We'll come back to it the week after next week in the will of God. But what a man. But the same Savior is your Savior. And the same grace can be yours. And the same power can be yours. May God give us the grace to be at our best for God.